money this time. Good evening. Welcome to the regular trustee meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees. Today is Thursday, February 18th, 2016. At this time, I'd like to ask our Parks Advisory Board Chair, Mr. Mark Harmon, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure.
Kick things off.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great. Okay, we will kick things off with public comment portion of the meeting. This is general public comment. Of course, the public reserves the ability to speak at any agenda item during the night. But if there is anyone who wishes to speak now under the general public comment. Nope. Okay. We will continue on then to our fiscal officer report. Mr. Pat Myers.
Thank you. Just a couple things on the agenda, and then one additional is not on the agenda, but it won't take a lot of time. The first is the approval of the 2016 reorganization meeting that was held on January 7th. You have those meeting minutes, so I would ask for approval of those minutes.
Is there a motion from the board?
Mr. Chairman, I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the January 7th, 2016 reorganization trustee meeting minutes.
Is there a second to the motion? I will second that motion. Is there a discussion?
In reading the minutes, I've noticed several corrections that need to be made. And I don't know the best way in order to do this, but for instance, I know that I nominated Carl to be chair and Rick to be vice chair.
Okay.
That was the first motion,
right?
Yet that's not recorded in the minutes. And I know that I did not motion to nominate Rick as chair and Carl as vice chair. I know that you did.
I did.
So there are a lot of these kind of errors in here. And what I would like to do is to make a motion that we approve the electronic records, the verbal recording. That's a practice that Delaware County does. It's accepted. In fact, their motion, just read their motion, not for us, but motion to approve the electronic records of the Delaware County Trustees meeting on X date. There's a first, there's a second, and that's the record.
That's it.
That would eliminate somebody preparing these minutes, taking the time to translate them, proof them, our time, and it's verbatim. So I would like to see us go to that method as to improve efficiency and accuracy.
I'd have to look and see what our statutory requirements are, because I believe we are required to have, and I don't know if we have the option of doing audio over written minutes or not. But I'd like to know just what our requirements are under revised code. Because you're responsible for the minutes, your office is.
I'm responsible to have access to minutes. I don't know ORC off the top of my head, and I'd be happy to check to see if that's okay, and we approve that, or if we still need to continue to do paper copy.
I think that we determine what the minutes are, and if we determine that the record, electronic record, is the minutes, then that is the minutes.
I don't know the answer to that, Frank. I mean, I know that we're required under revised code to do some form of minutes, and if you've got it ready to share, let's whip it out.
Yeah. Title V doesn't say anything.
Okay.
Paper, electronic, digital.
How about you're under that same section, aren't you?
No.
Fiscal officers.
I don't. It just says minutes. It doesn't dictate what type of minutes.
Okay.
So, I was going to say.
Yeah, we have a visitor tonight, right?
We have our county prosecutor coming tonight. Assistant county prosecutor.
We are.
I think we are.
Yeah, for an executive session.
Executive session.
He's coming to discuss a property issue that we've been discussing in the executive session.
I was unaware of that. I understand the executive session, but I didn't know that we were going to have guests present.
Well, he is our legal counsel for this matter. So.
Okay.
I'm here. If there's no problem, I guess we have that option.
Sure.
So do you want to not approve the minutes or the written minutes and suspend them until clarification of electronic minutes, or do you want to accept the electronic minutes? Because I'm prepared to make a motion if you are.
I'm not prepared to vote on the electronic minutes pending just a little bit of clarity on that issue. I mean, I don't see an emergency in terms of holding off on the written minutes if there are errors that need to be corrected. I don't have any issues with that.
Pat aware.
He's aware of a few. But yeah. Let's get clarification before we go through the exercise of correcting the written minutes and typing them and so on and so forth.
Okay.
So if you could maybe by the next meeting, mm-hmm. and then we'll go from there.
Can I just say one thing?
So do you want to withdraw your motion then, Carl? Because you...
Yes, I'll withdraw the motion.
Okay. I'd still like to, I think, go through the exercise of correcting these just in case, so I can get the corrections that Frank has and Emily has. We'll go ahead and get them corrected throughout the week until we make a decision before next meeting. So if it's not, we can approve these, if that's okay.
One point I would make just as we, you know, weigh whether to migrate to a strictly electronic minutes is... I mean, is it easier for point of reference to just scan written minutes to find, yes, there was a motion dealing with this issue, it passed on such date, here's the title of it, as opposed to, you know, I mean, we've had our meetings run for 5 hours so far. I mean, to skip around trying to find a certain point of discussion, isn't that a little cumbersome? Maybe a little unfriendly to the public, just if you're trying to find a certain piece of information.
As long as they're in full and accurate, but it seems to be redundant. If Delaware County, who's got a lot bigger population than we do, it's acceptable to that constituency, then I think it would be acceptable to our 26,000.
Well, I just know that we have residents that look for certain items from time to time to want to know when a certain thing was voted upon and what was the history, and it's a lot easier to just pull up a PDF of the minutes and scan them and, okay, they didn't deal with that issue that night, let me pull it the next night, as opposed to I've got a 5-hour block of a meeting, I don't even know where to start skipping around, I don't even know where to look, what point in the meeting was that issue dealt with. I'm just trying to think in terms of, you know, transparency, accessibility, being customer friendly.
Do we know if they ever, I mean, they may approve them at a following meeting, I would assume. But do they ever then have written?
They have no written minutes.
They have no written minutes.
He's here, but let's let him get settled in. Let's move on past this, and then we can come back to this later on in the evening.
Okay.
Pat, we're still in fiscal officers.
Right. What
after
are you guys going to do about that motion?
It's been withdrawn.
Oh, it has. I'm sorry. Do I need a roll call to withdraw?
Nope.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, next is January financials. I'll present them for your signature. Get to my balances here. Sorry, I've got notes on the brain. So currently, total balance, $12,167,041.82. Our pooled investments of $11,121,695.06. And our primary checking balance of $1,045,346.76. Everything is cleared and reconciled, and I'll have these for your signature at the end. The next piece is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
In the future, could we get an advanced copy of those prior to submitting them for our signature so that we can review them?
Sure. You're not getting them?
Did you get them? I don't think so.
I thought they came out as part of the packet.
Yeah, I remember getting the email.
If not,
check my phone. Yeah.
They will going forward.
I remember getting something from Don, and it was, I believe it was
the fiscal office report.
It's a financial package. She sends it to us. It's called the financial package. Yes.
Yeah, it's attached package to the email that we send out with what I'm going to cover.
It came out just after the agenda item stuff.
But if you didn't get it, let me know, and I'll make sure.
Fiscal officers report, Donna Batten. January 2016 financials. Then the reorg minutes as well were attached as part of that. So whenever you got your reorg minutes, it was in the same email.
Okay.
Okay.
Last thing is, ask for a motion that you allow the fiscal office, as needed, to do supplemental appropriations within funds and within our legal limit in the UAN accounting system. This was something that I think there was confusion in reorg that we were asking for approval of particular supplementals, and we weren't. This is a request to allow the fiscal office to do supplemental appropriations, which is within our legal limit, and we still come to the board with every one of them anyway, so you're going to see them. But it allows us to go ahead and prepare supplemental appropriations within a fund if we need to move money within a fund.
What is the amount of the legal limit?
$2,500 or less. We don't have to come to the trustees, but we do still.
Per transaction?
Yes.
Per entry, per se, per journal entry?
So I would just ask for your motion to allow the fiscal office to prepare the supplemental appropriations as needed.
Is there a motion from the board?
I'll go ahead and make a motion to allow the fiscal office, as needed, to make supplemental appropriations within a fund at the legal level of control on the UAN accounting program, or the transfers require approval by the Board of Trustees.
Is there a second to the motion? I will second the motion. Discussion. Hearing none,
roll
please call
Mr.
the roll.
Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Carfani?
Aye. Motion carries.
The only other thing I wanted to mention, and this had come up prior, and around the holidays, I believe Carl had reached out to me, and I told him we'd do some research, and we did. And the OhioCheckbook.com, and the transparency of having our financials and everything online, it's my opinion that we should do that. We're fine with folks seeing that. I think that it could help us on some public records requests as far as time and productivity in that sense. I think it just makes sense for our residents to want to know anything going on. It will all be there for them, transactional, everything. So we'll be doing that before the first of the quarter, or by the end of the quarter, we'll have that on there.
Great.
It's pretty simple. It's free. It doesn't cost us anything to have it out there. I truly believe that over time, it'll save us money and time and effort with public record requests for some of that stuff.
You need a motion to do that, do you think? Or
I do not.
Okay.
Great.
I sat in on a session at the OTA meeting on that, and I really think it's...
Yeah, you and I kind of passed some emails about it. I read a little bit more about it, and then, you know, some of our neighboring townships that are kind of like us are doing that. And
I think Delaware County's on it as well.
They are.
Yeah.
Franklin County.
Franklin, Delaware, so...
Worthington. I've got a list here. I was going to bring that up on the new business.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. But I've got a little informational thing here. Just, I don't want to take too much time on you guys with this, but, it's for transparency. There's billions of dollars of state and local governments out there. It shows the spending. What's it cost? It costs us nothing. In most cases, the upload process is a few clicks of the mouse. I believe that when I see it.
20 minutes implementation.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
There it is. It'll probably be seamless, too. I use that word a lot in sales.
Seamless.
It'll be seamless. Yeah.
So is there we automatically, we determine what is on there, or is there's a package, isn't there? I mean,
it's all the way down to checkbook level spending. It's going to show every transaction.
Every transaction.
And you can sort it by account number, everything.
Yep.
Some of the cities that are locally that are on it is Bexley, Columbus, Delaware, Johnstown, New Albany, Plain City, Shawnee Hills, Worthington, and Sunbury. Yep. From a township perspective, Liberty's on it, Orange, Plain over in New Albany, Hamilton. School districts, we have New Albany on it, Pickerington is on it, Worthington is on it, and counties, we have Franklin and Hamilton, Delaware, Lorain, Lucas. So. Yep. It's an outstanding.
The number one reason is just increased transparency.
It's outstanding. It's an outstanding program that anybody at any time, anywhere, if they have access to a computer, they can access it and drill down to find out how much we spend on salt, how much we spend on whatever.
Right.
It's all there.
Yep. Now, Pat, do we have a link? So will we have that on our website? I got into the tail end of that meeting, obviously, but
That I have to check on the actual post-implementation, like where, how people get to it. I don't know.
I would think that we could at least put something on the website to say go to.
It says here that once we've submitted our data, the HowCheckbook.com team will build the checkbook website and then schedule a time for local government to review the website and ask any question. They would never publish without our okay.
Right.
So I think at that time we find out exactly the easiest way for people to access it. I do believe it'll be a link on our site.
Sure.
I
mean, because I know
otherwise we'd have to communicate a different site out to people.
Yeah, you go through the treasurer site to get to it.
Yeah,
but
you
I didn't
do
know if there was a
you could put a hyperlink on our site.
I was going to say, there's no reason. So. Yeah. Takes them right to that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Instead of copying it to both sites,
right.
Just do it on one site and do a link to that.
Yeah. Right. So, anyways, that's
good.
That's our plan.
Thank
great.
You.
Other than that, I don't have anything else.
Okay, thanks, Pat. Move on to trustee comments.
There's a number of old business issues that I'm not sure where they would fall because they pertain to all the various departments, but they were also initiated by the trustees. So I'll just start at the top and go down. We can hit quickly and give an update on them. Earlier, the trustees had talked about the concept of work sessions. Have you guys thought any more about that concept? For it, against it, still.
I spoke with one of the county commissioners about it, and basically was discouraged from it. It kind of precludes us from passing any official business if we need to. If something comes up and we need to hurry up and pass a purchase order or then and now for whatever, we're limited. I mean, I feel like these meetings are work sessions, frankly. I mean, if there's an issue we need to delve into and we need to bring public comment, I mean, we put it on the agenda and we can have as much of this discussion debate as we want. I don't know, I guess I don't see what's broken that needs to be fixed by changing the whole format of the meeting. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I talked to Barb Lewis actually about it, and it was the same issue. In fact, she was surprised. I guess she was questioning. Gee, she wasn't even sure if they had taken action or not. But yes, they sometimes they do. Having her been a trustee, she thought maybe the second meeting of the month we could limit the agenda if there were specific issues we really wanted to delve into. Because normally, as we said, that's pretty a later agenda. So I guess that would be if we were to call it a work session or just. Yeah, I don't know if we even have to call it that. I guess I'm still a little unclear as to what would be the difference between a work session and this meeting tonight. In your mind, and I mean,
a little less formal and a little more informal.
Okay.
But I don't see work sessions as precluding taking any action because all that is required is an announcement of the meeting. The posting of an agenda is not necessary.
There is no public comment
at
a work session.
It could be whatever it is we would want it to be. Delaware County just happened not to have public comment. The meetings are our meetings.
So if you're going to
design the meetings any way we want to.
So I guess if you're going to have an agenda, potentially have a public comment session. I mean, we had a public comment session tonight. There was no public comment.
Right.
So I think there can be some value in setting aside more discussion on issues. But I think I would still like to keep that flexibility of how we're set up, at least for now.
I'm just interested in getting decision yes or no.
Yep.
Decision no, I'm fine with that.
And plus, if there is a special topic that we need to dedicate an actual meeting to, I mean, we've always done that. Call special meetings, schedule one, and have it specifically for that purpose.
Okay. I brought up the issue of the state of the Genoa Township.
Yes.
What's the general thought about that? I think the chairman would do it.
I have no qualms about it. I'd be fine. I think you had suggested April, perhaps.
March, April, yeah. It doesn't need to be immediate, but it would be a good recap of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And then what 2016 is looking like. you know, kind of a 10, 15 minute overview. Mm-hmm. It can be in conjunction with this, you know, meeting. I don't think it needs to be a special meeting. It could be at the beginning.
Yeah. Why don't we, do we want to work it into one of our second meetings of the month for either March or for April? I mean, just because the second meetings of the month theoretically have lighter agendas because we don't have all the department heads here. So it might make more sense to work in a 10, 15 minute speech recap, whatever you want to call it, into that.
It would be either March 17th or March 21st.
We would just put it, we would just work it into our agenda.
Yes. Yeah.
It's how I would envision it, unless you're talking about a special.
I just think it'd be good to have an overview.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And don't want to rush. It doesn't need to be in March. Take some time to think about it, get your thoughts together.
Sure.
It could be the second meeting in April.
Well, I mean, I think I've got some notes somewhere just from year end 2015, the stuff that we worked on, and I can work in, you know, what we're currently working on and what we've envisioned doing for the remainder of the year. I think it's going to be lots and lots of work. I don't need a teleprompter or anything. I'll just work off some notes.
We've all got, we talked about the overtime analysis, and everyone got a copy of that from Paul. Have you had a chance to look at those numbers?
I did get them. I scanned them. I can't honestly sit here and give you a recap about it. I'm sorry. What are your observations?
There's a lot of overtime. Some of which can't be managed, some of which could be managed, some of which could be, I'll use the word flex time, if you're working overtime this time, then you work less day, less hours tomorrow, so to speak. It's a lot of money. And Paul, could you redo this report by department?
I believe that came from Pat's office.
Yes. Pat, can you redo this by department? And with subtotals, so that we can see the hours and the amounts by department. And then maybe we can follow up on that the next meeting.
Well, and this comes up from time to time when there are vacancies in police or in fire. People think, well, we're saving money by not filling those holes because of attrition. But in reality, it just boosts the overtime because everybody else has to fill in that void.
At time and a half.
Right. But I also know, too, that the hiring process has not always gone smoothly, finding good candidates to replace our firefighters and our police officers and, you know, finding the right fits for those departments. I mean, you want to fill it, but you want to fill it with the right types of people. So, no, I mean, I'm all for doing anything to reduce overtime.
I see Joe Schaefer is not here. I was going to ask what the status of reviewing the zoning fees are, but that can certainly wait until he's present. We've talked about posting the investment reports to the website, and Donna has prepared a pie graph, which I think everybody has of that.
You sent it to me, Jim.
Oh.
Just because it was kind of a working thing that you were working with.
Okay.
So I think she just sent it to
us. I just happened to have a copy. The first schedule is a summary that I've prepared, which is kind of an overview of the various buckets which Pat just described in his last fiscal report. They don't tie because we're talking about two different time periods, okay, but the concepts are the same. Then the second page is a pie graph which takes the first page. It doesn't tie because of the difference in dates, okay, that were used, but the concept is there. Mm-hmm. And I think it is a very good tool to show the taxpayers where the money's at. So what I would like to do is to have this posted on our website at the end of each month, templates are done, they're established, and provide information.
Does it change on a monthly basis?
Sure.
Interesting comments.
Well, the interesting comments.
Yeah, we get,
The funds themselves.
Operating funds, the cash.
The operating funds do, the investments can, but not every month. You know, like every 3 or 4 months, yes, you'll see we'll purchase something new, we move money out,
so
operate.
You move around, okay.
So you'll see some of that change. But we bought a new CD, CDs went up.
Right, they went up and went down. Right? That part I understand. Now, the question is this something that is on the open checkbook?
No. This,
okay.
The checkbook is strictly our operating.
Operating, okay.
Cash out the door.
Yep.
This is cash that's going to the board.
Yes.
I think this is a simple enough, I believe, that and this is simple enough for people to understand, and it's simple enough, it's not straining us to get it on the website.
I agree.
That works well. I think listing every single treasure bond, everything would be a little bit much, but I think what we've done even here, I think, personally, if I was a resident, I'd go, okay.
I think it's enough to give people a general sense for those that are curious and for those that want even more, then you know, they gladly call and we can give that information over.
So let me understand. You're saying the graph, but not the schedule. Is that what you're saying? Or are you saying both?
No. I said what you have there and this together.
Okay. So we're talking both.
Yeah. Pieces. I think they're both.
Yeah.
That schedule you have there is the one you're showing is still a lot less than what we had talked about early on.
Right.
But never.
This is
so
just a condensed.
I think this is a nice condensed version.
Yes.
In my opinion.
I'm all for condensed.
That gives the information that you were wanting to give. And like you said, if someone is, I'd really like to know about this here, they can call us, ask us, okay,
right.
So I'm on.
How easy, Pat, how easy is it for you guys to update this monthly?
It's easy.
Okay.
We get a report, and it's broken down by, it says,
each
mutual, CDs, treasuries, and Donna totals it, plugs into this pie graph, and there you have it. You know, it's not. I'm sure she loved me speaking for how easy it is for her.
So, can we get this, February's up by the first
always
week of March?
It's probably going to be the 15th of each month, Bob, with what I would guess, because Fifth Third doesn't get this to us till
okay.
This is day 8 or 9.
Can we get January's up by the next March week?
We can get January's up right now.
Right.
Monday.
Right.
Because we have.
Right.
I'm saying going forward, just to let you know, it'd probably be in between our two meetings, you'd see it hit, you know, because
right.
Fifth Third usually gets us to day, this is day 6, 7, 8, we get that Fifth Third. And
right.
Yeah.
So it's safe to say by the 30th of each month, previous months will be on there.
Oh, yeah. I would think I think our goal would be the 15th next month for prior month.
Okay.
So 15 March, you'd see all February.
All February's.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
All right.
The cemetery fees,
excuse me,
the cemetery fees, the minutes indicate that we approved it, yet my recollection is that we tabled that particular issue, wanting to do further discussion about the cemetery fees. Specifically, I have the issue with why opening and closing fees are waived for former and present employees. And the concept of why we're charging Genoa taxpayers who purchased the land to begin with, and then subsequently purchased the lot, their lots, or their right to use the lot, maybe purchase is the wrong word, and then who pay to maintain the cemetery, why we're charging Genoa taxpayers, not non-Genoa taxpayers, but Genoa taxpayers, why we are charging them again, and then why we are waiving opening and closing fees for former and present employees. So the minutes indicate that was approved. I don't recall that it was approved. I recall that we tabled that for further discussion.
Seems about right. I don't immediately remember, but I know that there was discussion kind of to be continued on that.
So it doesn't need to be resolved tonight,
mm-hmm.
But if you guys could give some further thought.
Well, I think it's interesting. I guess
couple what-ifs I have. So let's say, you know, somebody is a resident here all their life, and then in their end years, their final 5 years of life, they move to a nursing home that is outside of the township. They're no longer technically, as you know, a township resident. Does that person have to pay the fee? Because they'd be a non-resident at that point, even though they maybe lived here for 80 years. Would we waive the fee for someone like that? Conversely, if somebody lived elsewhere all their lives and then they spent the last 3 years of their life here in Genoa, would we extend them that courtesy?
Good question. And that's why I'm bringing it up. It's not too much of an issue right now because we have no rooms to sell.
Right.
Except one, which I would like us to address that sometime in the future.
Right.
We do have lots that are sold but are not occupied at the moment.
Right.
Okay. So those two scenarios, or one scenario, could be.
And I'm a proud owner of one of those, and I'm in no hurry to occupy it. Thank you very much.
But I get your point. So, I mean, using you, Carl, as the example, I mean, God forbid. Something were to happen to you, I think it would probably make sense then to waive the...
But he's an employee, so he dies...
Oh, well, that's a bad example then, because you're...
Former. Yeah. So I don't understand the concept of what it is that we're doing and why, what is justification of doing.
And I don't know even how long that has been in existence. Does anyone have any recollection?
All I can think of is just it's a recovery. It's a recovery of those services. That's all I can think of. And I'm, you know, this has been around before my time, so I'm not here to justify it, but that's all I can think of.
But if they weren't opening or closing a grave, those employees are still getting paid.
Correct.
So now if we contracted to have that grave opened or closed, then that would be an additional expense.
But we're not.
Right. There are employees, there are equipment, and therefore those wages as well as equipment have already been paid for once by the taxpayer.
Awesome.
Depending on how we define taxpayer.
Well, that's just it. Yeah.
Maybe if you're a taxpayer, if you buy the lot while you're a resident,
I mean, if you were a resident for longer than X amount of years, maybe then you qualify for the discount.
Free.
Yeah.
Well,
it's worth looking at.
Continue to think about that in your off time. And
have you given any more thought to the dilemma of not having any more space? I mean, is that something you think is worthy of?
I think it's very worthy of exploring purchasing additional land. We're not required by the ORC to provide cemeteries. We are responsible to maintain cemeteries.
The ones we have.
Yep. And it would take a unanimous vote of all three of us to purchase additional land for a cemetery.
Correct.
But I am in favor of moving down that path.
Yeah, looking at it.
For those taxpayers that want to be buried in Genoa Township, I think that it's appropriate to provide, and it also could dovetail either into an existing park or inactive park or vacant land that we have, or it could be a new land with a new park,
new purpose,
you know, a multi-purpose facility.
Yeah.
I'll check the minutes again. I believe you guys passed that with the option to come back and change it later.
Did we maybe keep it the way it was? Yeah, I don't know.
Continuation. As is, well, let's explore some of this stuff. We can always come back and change it.
You have to check the audio on that to clarify.
Okay.
The bonding issue for trustees. Carl, were you going to look at that? Somebody was going to look at that.
I think it was me. You mean as far as increasing our bond amount?
Well, increasing our bond amount, for one thing, but also I'm not sure that our bond is worth the paper that's written on if we've got personal liability back to the bonding company for all costs incurred. For all costs incurred, yet we, including interest, attorney fees, and expenses and loss, yet we can't control what they do. So they could run that meter up. We could have a $2,000 claim, $10,000 claim against us. They could run that meter up to be $100,000 worth of expense. Mm-hmm. They pay out the $10,000 claim, mm-hmm. and then they come to us and look for the $100,000. That's the way the game works.
Yeah. That's not what we'd have to talk to the prosecutor about that. My understanding early on with that was that was a malice issue. It was prosecuted a crime of malice that made you responsible for that. Not just the fact that you're in this position, something happened, so you're responsible. I mean, we had something happen.
We have
you guys
one
weren't charged with it.
We have the Delaware County. We have one of the deputy prosecutors here this evening. Andrew, do you know anything really about the bonding requirements? Can you speak to that? Or sorry to put you on the spot. Can you come up to the microphone? Andrew King from the Delaware County Prosecutor's Office. I apologize. Putting you to work.
Always what happens when there's an attorney in the room. One of the things that I'd want to look at is the bonding requirement is part of the individual trustee's requirement to assume office. So I don't know if you're talking about a bond above and beyond that, like in addition to. I'm not really sure sort of what the context this came up in. But, I mean, my first thought would be if the statute says that this is the bond that you're going to have, that's sort of the place I would start. Now, if you want to have an additional bond, I don't think anything prohibits you from doing that. But, I mean, what's the concern?
The ORC requires a $1,000 bond.
That sounds about right.
We have $5,000. Okay. The issue is, and you all signed this indemnification, that the trustee agrees to indemnify the above surety company and save it harmless from any and all expense loss, including but not limited to interest, court costs, and attorney fees incurred by the surety bond by any reason for any claim against the bond.
On behalf of the township is what I was told.
So
they're acting so. Payments come from the township, not from the personal liability of the trustee. That's what we were told way back when.
That's not what, when we're signing that, we're signing it as individuals. We're not signing it as trustees.
I believe that's the way the statutory bond for you to assume office is intended to work. So if this is what that is, then that is probably the way that it works.
Well, it uses the word principal. And the individual is deemed to be the principal. On page one, I only have page two there.
But wouldn't that be if there was a personal claim? I mean, if there was a personal, I stole money or something or like that, then yes, it comes back to me. But if in the performance of our duties as trustee, then that would, I think, fall under the umbrella of the township. I would think.
That's how it
might be an oversimplification of it, but you're thinking it.
If the prosecutor agrees with the words that are on that piece of paper, then I'm okay.
Do you guys carry any sort of additional, like, directors and officers type insurance liability?
I used to, but I don't anymore.
Well, let's, in the effort of time, let me send to you. Andrew, I will send you page one and page two, and then you can look at it in its entirety, because that's the back page.
So what would be the, so let's say that's correct, what would be the options you have, additional bond?
But, well, for me, for my preference would be additional bond, because I don't think $5,000 is enough in today's world. Number two, no indemnification to the surety company back against us, and if we can't get that removed, then there's no sense in paying for a $5,000 bond. Let's go back to the minimum ORC requirement, which is $1,000.
Is the surety
if we're liable for it?
Yeah.
Are there any surety companies that will issue a bond without the indemnification clause?
Don't know, but we can sure shop it.
I highly doubt that, but okay.
We can explore it. Just because that's the standard doesn't mean that we have to accept the standard.
We have to be bonded.
We have to be bonded.
I think it's worth checking on. My understanding of the very beginning was you're bonded to the extent of the township. So if you personally steal, then yes. But if parks director steals, the bond company comes to the township for that payment, not to the trustees for that payment.
Right.
And then they'll go to Ron because he's
stolen. So if there's malice, you've done something wrong, you personally have done something wrong, then yes, you're going to be personally identified. The indemnification would apply to you.
But I've
again,
got
I'm not an attorney. I'm just saying, because if that's the case, then I'm on the hook for $250,000, right? Yours is $5,000, mine's $250,000. So
right.
If Donna steals $200,000, are they going to ask me to pay it?
Read your indemnification.
My understanding is no. I asked those questions long ago.
Why don't we have prosecutor's office look into our existing bond and look into what's required of us?
I'll send it.
Let's do the research maybe offline.
And
then maybe come back to the meeting with actual answers, and then we can decide how to move forward.
Sounds like a good idea.
Thank you, Andrew.
The rental income from community gardens. We've talked about that now, I think, two if not three meetings. I've done some additional tax research on this matter. And the Internal Revenue Code is very clear about what qualifies for a charitable contribution. And I'll just briefly read it because it's one sentence. A state, a possession in the United States, or any political subdivision of any of the foregoing or the United States or District of Columbia may take qualifies for a contribution, but only if the contribution or gift is made for exclusively public purpose. In other words, there are no strings attached. You can't be getting something in exchange for a contribution. So you cannot be donating money to a foundation and getting to use a plot of land in exchange for that donation. Quid pro quo. It doesn't work that way. That's a sham transaction. So I'm going to make a resolution effective immediately that all rentals, usage of the community gardens, effective immediately, be deposited into the Genoa Township Revenue Fund.
Second motion.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion.
Now, that does not affect the Delaware County Community Fund, though, correct, Frank?
It does not.
You're leaving the fund alone. It's just the revenue coming from
the government. We're not going to grow the fund.
Exactly.
It's going to stop.
Well, we're not going to grow the fund through the community gardens.
Right. It's going to stop effective today if the motion passes.
Okay, I just want to clarify.
For the community gardens.
Yes, okay.
For rentals of the community gardens.
There you go.
It will be just like every other rental of every other park, every other township facility that we have.
Okay.
It'll follow the same path.
Any comments from the audience? We have some more parks folks here. Some public comment. Yes. Name and address, please. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Margaret Bonello at 7346 Maracy Loop. Just about the community gardens, I had brought something up with the Zoning Commission. It's just because you're mentioning this made me think of it. I was hoping there was something that we could have done in the comprehensive plan that they're updating to somehow protect the gardens from anything disrupting them. Of course, these monies wouldn't. Maybe it's inappropriate for me to bring this up right now, but since we were talking about it, there's a lot of people that have been renting those plots year after year after year, and the soil out there is pretty tough. It's got a lot of rocks. These people have removed the rocks and put a lot of money into amending the soil. I'm hoping that those gardens will always remain there and nothing would disrupt them, perhaps like a road or something, and then having the gardens moved. So, since we're talking about the gardens, is there some way that the U.S. trustees can protect that property from any sort of disruption? Although, on the zoning meeting, they said that land was actually part of the open space from when they built Sheffield Park. So, presumably, maybe it couldn't be disturbed.
I mean, I'm sure that we could take some kind of an official position that, you know, our township is maybe not going to do anything to disrupt the gardens. But if the county ever wanted to, you know, put a road through there or something through eminent domain, I don't know that we have the power to fight that, frankly. I mean, I think that, you know, we can certainly make promises that are only as good as the trustees that are sitting here at this table, that, you know, we're not going to, you know, make it into a cemetery or make it into, you know, something else. But, you know, if a higher form of government that has, you know, these types of rights to build infrastructure through there, if they exercise those rights, I don't think that we have very much recourse other than to protest it. That's my understanding. I don't, if you guys disagree, I'm all ears.
Would y'all be willing to protest it with me if something like that happens?
I'm not willing to take a position at this point in time.
I will.
I want to know what I'm protesting when it happens. Right. So let's cross it when we get there.
Well, just that
I'm not aware of anything imminent. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
Okay, so, great. Thanks.
And I was a former garden owner out there, so I did have a vested interest and still do.
Okay, I'm sorry. There is a motion on the table. There is ongoing discussion. There's no more discussion among the trustees. So this is going to disconnect the money that is being deposited into the community foundation fund, and instead that money is going to be diverted into the general revenue fund.
Correct.
But not in lieu of the cost of obtaining a plot.
Please call the roll.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Mr. Carpagna.
Aye. Motion carries.
We spoke about the Ohio Local Government Safety Grant. Do we have any more information about that? I know the police chief is not here.
Yeah, the chief is looking at that. There's a lot of stipulations related to that grant. They're looking at a possible project or some purchase with that grant at this time.
Would the canine dog that we just approved the purchase of last?
I'm not sure. He's looking at something in particular. I can't recall what it is. He'll be at the next meeting.
He'll be at the next meeting?
Yes.
With the report? Thanks. Bicentennial event, we've had a lot of discussion about that. Is that any?
I actually left a voicemail for a former coworker of mine who lives in the township. He's a graphic designer, just to get a quote for logo design. But once I get answers from him, I'd like to at least, I can email all of you just with that information. I agree with Mr. Blair at the last meeting that, you know, we're behind the eight ball on having some kind of, you know, if we're going to do some kind of a branding of the bicentennial, create like a logo even. I know we had talked about maybe a new permanent logo, but at least a bicentennial logo. But I wanted to get just an idea of how much it would cost if we were to actually go out and get a graphic designer and come up with a handful of different concepts. So
I am neutral, absolutely neutral on whether to have or not have a bicentennial event. But if we are going to have one, time is of the essence.
I talked to a couple folks in my neighborhood, and this issue came up actually in conjunction with something else, but they didn't really think, they were kind of the same way, Frank. They didn't care if there was an event or not. They said, we do a lot of events anyhow, which are all nice. They did like the branding idea. They liked the idea of a commemorative something.
Touch,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they were the same way. They said, we have a lot of things going on. They weren't really overly excited about having a special event.
I just think we ought to make a decision. And either if we're going to move forward, let's get a plan and go. And if we're not, then let's drop it off.
Oh, Mr. Harmon.
All right.
Public speaks.
Yeah, the public is here. As we were requested,
is starting to be a habit for me showing up at all the meetings. The Parks Board met last night, actually. And this is, and by the way.
Let's get you on the mic, Mark. Thanks.
Mark Harmon, Dunaway Lane, Chairman of the Parks Advisory Board. And we met last night. We had a very good turnout. In fact, all the board members were there except for one, and I got an email from the one that wasn't there giving suggestions. And this is a compilation of what they recommended. And you guys are pretty good readers, so I'm not going to read this to you. But what we would advise is that we do the event on August 20th, which happens, the park happens to be reserved currently for a movie night. And we gave a list of activities. One thing that was kind of important for a lot of the board members was having some historical information, since it is a celebration of the bicentennial. And we recommended engaging the Delaware County Historical Society to see what we could get from them. And what we would want to do is that evening is run it in the afternoon, and at the end of the festivities finish up with movie night, and we talked about showing Apollo 13. We wanted to do something Americana, something that, you know, had kind of a wide range of appeal. It's a little older, but it's still good. And the only other, like I said, you guys can read through this. You're pretty good readers, I suspect. But we also recommended that not only the Parks Board is engaged with it, which we intend to be, but other boards in the township as well, because it is going to take a certain amount of manpower to do that. And it's not just about staff, and it's not just about the Parks Board, but it's about the township in total, and that includes the other boards as well. And so I would leave you with that, and...
Thank you.
Okay.
Very good. Very good.
So, like I said, this is the sum total of our meeting last night. I thought it was extremely productive, and they're all very committed. So,
thank you.
This is, you know, hopefully that will give you an idea of what at least we're thinking. So,
when do we normally do the National Night Out? Is that September?
Yes, I think it is, in like early September, isn't it, Paul?
That's on a weeknight, though.
Yeah,
on a Tuesday night.
Yeah,
right.
I was just trying, because I thought it was sometime late summer, early fall.
Yeah,
I'm
sure. I think you're
how
right.
How that would fit in with...
Well, and that was one of the considerations. Obviously, from our discussion last month, we wanted to move it off September 11th for a myriad of reasons.
Right.
And that's why, since we'd already reserved the park for movie night on the 20th of August, it seemed like a good fit. Mm-hmm. And it also gives some lead time to lead into some of these. But we tried to keep it... relatively simple, simple but hopefully fun stuff. So
you would, the activities run between 2 and 8.
Uh-huh.
Is that the time? So
yes.
2 in the afternoon until 8
correct.
In the evening, and then movie nights at 8:45.
We talked about like starting, kicking it off early in the day with like a run and a ride and a, you know, maybe a car cruise in or something. But by the time you do that, the time factor becomes extended out. You're 12, 13, 14 hours
sure.
into an event, and we tried to contain that. And it's a little easier to get volunteers, especially rolling in and out if it's a fixed amount of time, because we know, like, movie night is going to take probably 3 people, and generally it's going to be Ron and probably me and probably Paul or,
yeah.
you know, or Dave Blair or Joe Luby. That's generally the crew that is there. So we know who those people are, and then you've got a fixed time for the remainder of it, and hopefully that kind of makes a little more sense.
Good.
So,
also, there was a point in time when we had boxes of old historic documents from the township.
Minutes. There's an old minute that Pat has that are locked up.
Okay. Pardon? You're getting way ahead of me, folks, which happens frequently anymore. No, I didn't know what was in that, if it was just, if they were just minutes, if there was any other historical documents that you know, I mean, if we're going to be doing a you know, having a historical society, if they had any old photographs, any old family records, I mean, I don't know who's interested in that, but, you know, I see no one has still knocked down the old Township Hall down here, so I'm still going to push that issue for a while. But that might be something else, is to investigate with the Historical Society or even some of the old families in this community to see if.
And I think that was one of the ideas a couple of our residents, I know Dorothy Driscoll was very interested in trying to get some historical, rather than make it just a carnival type event, have some historical substance along with it too, which would probably appeal to the not the kids.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, good. Great.
I like it. I mean, it's you're taking a pre-existing event, you're making it a super event.
Well, and we exactly, and we kind of took it into consideration for this event that we won't do center green, and that this is kind of going to be, you know. So I mean, we always do Easter and the trick or treat village. I realize that, but this is going to be kind of just the event for the year. So.
Good.
And it's hopefully geared more towards a broader range than just the kids.
Yeah.
So
I like
that's kind of what that's really what we were
great
for.
Great job.
So,
great job.
Okay. Well, I will convey that back to them in a couple weeks when we meet. So
let's proceed with it. We've got, was it 10,000 appropriated, I think, we did for this event.
And there's a lot of things.
Not that
on
you need
this.
To spend 10,000, but I mean,
well, it's really
you've got wiggle room to do.
I
stuff.
I know the events committee meets. I think they said Monday, and they're really the, you know, if you guys are on board with this, I think it's really going to depend a little more on them than the Parks Board. We're there to, you know, basically advise, and I think it's going to be a little more about staff than it is going to be about.
What
the
is the events board? I'm not familiar.
Well, the events, it basically, they coordinate between the, no, it's not a board. It's the events committee that, it's two people off the Parks Board, and they coordinate with staff the events that we've had in the township.
They help with volunteers and stuff. It's not a formal.
Okay.
And we've got 5 months. I mean, I assume that we're all good with this. I mean,
and that's the other consideration. We want to make sure we have plenty of time to plan a lot of this and market it, of course.
Well, we've got at least 5 months. I mean, I say move forward with it. Let's lock it in.
Okay.
Move forward with it. I mean, you know, whatever degree you can get all this, great. We're behind it. And we've got 5 months, and we can try to publicize the heck out of it. We can, you know, try to get volunteers on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I mean, just so it's not,
right,
you know, the same five people that are always, you know, running all the events. God bless you all, but
a
you
few
know.
Of us are a little tired.
Yeah,
and I know one of us is getting old.
And we can promote. Yeah, and we can promote this at like the Easter egg hunt too. I mean, if we have other events, we can say, "Hey, look,
absolutely,
this is coming up. We'll take all the help we can get.
Mm-hmm.
Sign up here at this table."
Exactly.
That sort of thing.
Exactly. And like I said, we wanted to definitely reach out to the other boards and engage them as well if possible.
Just a picky noon technicality.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Sure Centennial High School might be interested in helping, but I think we want Central first.
Yes. You know, this is
a long drive.
This
a long
is,
drive, but let's
this
get
is what happens when you drive around all day and you come back and you go, oh, I got to get this done.
Welcome to my club.
Yeah, exactly.
No, thank you very much.
So come by the house and proofread for me.
Could you also extend an invitation to Olentangy High School?
Because I think they were going to.
Because our township includes...
Yes, I think Dave Blair actually was going to engage them and see if we could... We were going to try and engage the high schools that are in the township.
Okay. Yeah, DeSales, well, I would say DeSales. I'm partial to DeSales myself, but there are a lot of DeSales stallions here in the township, too.
So,
I would suggest
that. Okay.
It might be worth maybe even... passing along this information to the principals of those high schools, just to say, with a highlight about the.
And this is one of the considerations when we picked the date too, is that school's in session, and so it's early in their session, but we know that they're going to probably be looking for venues, hopefully, where they can come out and perform.
They can practice.
So,
but
yeah.
to regards with the historical aspect, you know, talking about the Delaware County Historical Society, that's great, but I think if you reach out maybe to the principals and say, look, this is what we're planning, so our thoughts are, if your history teachers maybe want to work that into their curriculum, or if any of their kids are doing projects and maybe want to
definitely
research it, you know, if they can come to the hall, or and then maybe they can come set up like a science fair with their
I don't know,
just thinking out loud.
I would like to make a motion that we designate August 20th from 2 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. to be Genoa Township Bicentennial Celebration Day at McNamara Park.
I'll second the motion.
Motion is made and seconded. Discussion.
We don't have a football game that night or anything like that. Craziness, do we?
What time's OSU on?
See, you're talking to a guy from California.
I
couldn't tell you. I don't know. Is USC playing that night?
I mean, you're not going to, you know, avoid everything, but, you know.
Paul, did you?
No, you're not.
The other issue is, are you guys going to have enough help? Because this is a long time to have people in August.
Yeah, and what it is that what we envisioned is, you know, a certain number of people, and we actually mapped out the number of people we needed, and basically it's going to be hour over hour over hour. It's not, nobody is absolutely going to be expected to be there more than 2 or 3 hours.
So we had that Trail Fest one time, and it was, I almost passed out with dehydration and heat exhaustion from that, because it was a block of time.
No, I understand. I don't think the expectation is unless
as long as you got good coverage with
I think we can call that audible as you get closer. If we designate the day, we designate the time.
It's
and location.
A lot of it's going to be dependent upon the volunteers that we can capture between now and then.
There's a lot of activities and a lot of time.
There are.
So.
And if it needs reduced, we can reduce it.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. The hard and fast things, and that's why we gave recommended activities, you know, a lot of those don't have to happen if we don't have the people that can man these things. Some of them are really kind of turnkey on their own. There's not going to be a whole lot of manpower necessary. Probably the biggest thing is the 4 to 5 if you're going to serve dogs and whatever. And I understand that's about a 4-person experience. So, yeah, I think it's workable. We've got enough time. I think it's doable. And see where it goes.
I would like to disseminate this information to the HOAs as well. And
I have
a meeting coming up as well.
Think Dorothy intended to do that, and I'll make sure that I send her a copy. Send her a copy of this, and make sure that she mentions it at the meeting, which I think is on the 5th, which I'm not.
So the Parks Advisory Board is going to drive this bus,
right?
I think it's a collective effort.
It's going to, because
there's got to be a leader.
There does have to be a leader.
If there's
you're
no
right.
leader,
and
this
I think,
thing goes in different directions.
I think I really think the leader has to come in internally with staff. I think we can advise, but I can't contract for a dog vendor to come out. I can't contract for, you know, X, Y, and Z to come out either. And that's why I think to really drive it, we can advise, but we can't.
That's on the implementation.
Right.
The vision person, the vision.
We're the vision.
Is going to be
we're the vision.
Okay. And then the implementation side, we will take care of that.
Yes.
Between the
you and I,
and
we're saying the same thing. It's the semantics are different. I've got to get in the game with you. Somehow I
that's great. Thank you.
But
really appreciate
it was a very rewarding experience. I've been on the board long enough to where, you know, some meetings are better than others, but when you have everybody there and engaged, it was very, very rewarding. So, it's going to be an interesting spring.
Thanks for the brainstorming and for generating this.
Yeah, thank you guys.
All right, we're still under trustee comments.
I'm sorry.
Let's call the roll.
I think discussion for us.
Yep.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Mr. Carfani.
Aye. Motion carries.
Three other very quick things. Status on the parking issue on Hawksbeard area.
Where
are we up? We signs up.
I don't think the signs are up. Do we know how long it's going to take? The signs are ordered.
The signs came in. All I'm waiting for is weather to get them up.
And
we've advertised in the paper the 30 days.
We've advertised once.
We got
in next week. Too.
And then the signs will go up before they can enforce it. But we can't enforce it until 30 days.
And we, I got the proofs from them, from the sign company, which I immediately sent over to the HOA. And I just advised them that we had taken action to pass it. But I said, here is what it's going to look like if there is an issue with it. Alert us to it, you know, so we can undo it before we print the signs. And they were totally fine with it, and they said we're good to go. So
okay, great. Update on the status of installing the warning. I'm going to call it the warning siren. I really don't know what the official term is.
Yeah. The siren has been installed. Electrician will be here next week to finish wiring it up. And then the company's come back to activate it and make sure it works. But they installed it, and it is up.
Okay, good. Where is it?
It's beside the maintenance building, out back, in the corner where the tower for the 911 stuff is.
Okay.
Do we know when it'll be tested on a weekly basis? Is it going to be like Wednesday at noon, like Franklin County always?
I have not heard that. I would assume it will be Wednesday because that's when Delaware does theirs.
Is it a rotating beacon or is it a rotating?
It rotates.
Okay. Great, thanks. Last item, update on the aggregation programs.
I communicated with Scott Bel Castro just because I intend to put a pretty, as much as we know, into the newsletter that's going to be coming out just to give as much of an update on timetable as possible. Scott took a look at it and offered just a couple of short edits, but that'll be going out as part of the newsletter.
Okay. That's it. Thanks.
Any other trustee comments?
We're good.
All right, let's move into old business. Police is not here. Maintenance.
In your package, you should have the plans for McNamara and Center Green restroom, showing where we're going to sit the building and where the water, electric, and sanitary is coming from. And I've got some purchase orders to buy some of the stuff tonight and others. I'm still waiting on quotes back from a couple companies yet. I just need an answer of what we're going to do as far as Center Green or both of them.
At a minimum, we're going to do Center Green. Was there any disagreement about Center Green?
At a minimum, I thought we were doing both.
Well, I think there seemed to be some hesitation at the last meeting about proceeding with both because I think there was talk about waiting to see what we were going to do in terms of a shelter house. I'm personally in favor of both, but I know that there seemed to be solidarity about Center Green. Am I wrong in that? We're all good with Center Green, at least Center Green. So we're good with Center Green, proceeding with Center Green, and I don't know if we need to offer a motion specific to that.
It'd be better if you do the both of them if you're going to do them both. So I can explain how I wrote the POs.
Well, why don't you discuss the merits of doing both? Because okay. Isn't there some cost savings to be had?
Yes. First of all, CXT has got the contract for the buildings. And it is up now. But they'll give us last year's price if we make a decision within the next week. If not, it's probably going to go up $2,000 or $3,000 per restroom.
Is there a discount for purchasing two instead of one?
No, there is not. I asked that question, and this is all state bid and it's by the unit.
Are there any other vendors that you've looked at?
that have a comparable product?
No, there is not a comparable concrete building. This is the only company that makes a concrete building. It's on all the state bids.
Bob, you said per restroom. I mean, is per restroom mean like per whole structure, or is it
per
women's and men's?
Per okay. whole structure.
Okay.
And
so waiting a year is going to add another 2,000 to 3,000.
Yes, if we wait more than a week, it's going to add 2,000 or 3,000 per unit, because that contract is going out to bid again now.
So, if we approve, say we approve tonight, both of them, when do we actually take delivery? Because I understand that once it's delivered, it's got to be delivered to the site.
They're looking at three-month lead time on it to build it. So we wouldn't, if I place the order, say tomorrow, we're good with the price, and then we'd have to get all the utilities ran and ready for the set the building in 3 months.
So minimum June?
Probably first May. Of June, yeah.
Could it be conceivably, if we did the MAC number one as well, could it be up and running by August 20th?
Oh, yes. It will be ready with both of them to set when they bring them, whenever they bring them. I also would talk about a water tap at McNamara. We're going to use an existing water tap, so we would not pay for a water tap there. Where the old house at, we can tie into that. So that's a $5,100 savings. Center Green, there is no water down there. We'd have to have a tap down there. Sewer. I talked to Delaware County Regional Sewer, and if we do both restrooms, they told me the best thing to do would be to combine our utility account for McNamara, Freeman, and Center Green all together, and we wouldn't have to pay the capacity fees at each place. So if we do them both, we would pay $1,711 per restroom. If we don't do them together, we have to pay $5,900 per restroom when we do them. And that's what we paid at Freeman, $5,900.
Can we not, just like if we were to build onto our house, build onto a commercial building, tap into our existing lines at McNamara? I understand there's nothing at Center Green, but can't we run our water, our electricity, and our sewer to the existing McNamara water, sewer, and electricity?
No, we can't. It's too far of a run. And we are going to tie into existing sewer because there's no sewer in that area at all. So we're going to pump the sewage from the new restroom to the old restroom, and then it goes out of there to the gravity fed out on Route 3.
So there will be no sewer tap then for McNamara?
That's correct.
The sewer will go to the west?
Yes. That's the $1,711 is all we had to pay, and that's capacity fee, because we're combining our restrooms all together.
Bob, I think there was an issue, a question. You know, we talked about the shelter and the location of the shelter. You know, we had still the barn issue. Where we place the shelter in relationship to the restroom. So what you're saying is, we're going to go with a restroom, but we would have at least 3 months to give that a little more thought for McNamara as it relates to the shelter and restroom and how they're configured.
Yeah, I would say we'd have about a month and a half because...
Get the lines in.
I had to get the lines ran and the pad all dug, so we would be ready for them to set the restroom.
Right.
I think the general, if I recall, I think the recommendation that I understood it from both staff and from the Parks Advisory Board was to move it away from the parking lot where it was originally sited back when we discussed this at appropriations and move it over towards the exercise equipment. I forget what it's called.
Yeah, it's where it's located right now.
Yeah,
that's where it's showing.
Showing on the map now. It was out where you say out by the parking lot.
But we had also, I think, had a little bit of a discussion as to the shelter. And does the shelter go where the existing barn is now, or does it go further to the west? And I don't know if it matters that much, but it's not that far. But
I understand the issue, and I do have some concerns about the location of McNamara, of a restroom and or a shelter. Mm-hmm. But that can be decided between now and
yes.
next meeting or the meeting after that, so to speak, the physical location, as compared to getting them locking in the price and getting that started.
Yeah.
So I would like to postpone the discussion of the physicality mm-hmm. of it until next meeting or whenever. Mm-hmm. Looking though at the quote, the drinking fountain with all the sensitivity to bacteria and cleanliness and the potential for vandalism, $3,400 for an exterior drinking fountain that I'm not sure how many people really use is a lot. Then the other thing is $3,800 for transportation. Now, if we're going to put two of these things on a truck,
you can only put one restroom on one semi.
They're 80,000 pounds?
Yes. It's all concrete.
I know, but I wouldn't think that they're 80,000 pounds worth. Is this going to be bigger or smaller than Prima?
It'd be the exact same one. Same unit, exactly. Stainless steel fountains and toilets or so that are vandal proof. Everything is the same as the other Freeman Road.
Does Freeman Road have electric locks?
Don't have electric locks because we're not getting electric locks. The only thing that's different, the state of Ohio now requires to have electric water heater heated.
I think he's looking at on this Cortez sheet, it says a timed electric lock system. It says, does
that
include
an option you can get? We don't have it.
It's so just, the check mark boxes are what we're getting.
Right. Only the check mark.
I can't find it. Give me a hint where I found it once, but I can't.
Timed
there it
electric
is.
Locks.
Okay. And it's you're right.
Checked.
You're right, Bob. It's not checked.
Okay. I was going to say, if it is, it shouldn't be.
Right. And I think that a green, and we don't have to maybe describe it now, decide now, but the green roof at Freeman Road really stands out a lot. Is that, could that be toned down to maybe more like a brown shingle?
It can be any of the colors that's on the options. I can get any color you guys would like it. That was chosen to meet the, it was supposed to look like the shelter house roof over there.
Yeah.
It really doesn't match that close, but that's the closest they had. Yeah, you can get the roof in any of these colors here on the option pad.
And what is the optional wall? Wait a minute, let me, final connection. They're going to charge us $2,200 to hook up the utilities?
Yes, that is to hook it up in the building.
And what will
they do for $2,200?
They hook the electric, the water, and the sewer all gets connected inside the pit. In the back of the restroom, there's a door utility closet. They hook it all up to the, all the stuff that's pre-wired and preset in the restroom.
Can we not do that or hire a separate contractor for that price? That's a lot of money for probably
I can ask him,
an
but
hour's worth of work.
I think the last time when I checked with
them,
when I checked with them about Freeman, that was the price that it's on state bid they had to do.
How about if we go ahead and approve the amount, and then in the meantime he can shop around, you know, the utility connections.
If you can
find a better price,
I can certainly ask.
We at least authorize you to go up to this amount as a fallback, so that we don't have to readdress this issue again.
Yep.
And if you can,
do we want the exterior water fountain?
Does that come pre?
It comes with the restroom. You can have it not concluded,
but it's a $3,400 option.
It's an option that they use over Freeman.
I think water fountains get used.
That's up to you guys.
You know, a lot of joggers over at McNamara, and they really enjoy water.
It's going to be right next to the.
Well, we got a pond that's dry. We can fill that.
I think we're good with the water fountain.
All right.
I will go ahead and make a motion to approve a purchase order to CXT Precast Products Incorporated in the amount of.
Do it times two.
Depends on, yeah, there's. So Bob did this really nicely. He did PO for one, he did a PO for two.
Yeah.
So it's $111,480 to CXT.
Correct.
Okay. Got it. In the amount of not to exceed $111,480. For restrooms at McNamara and Center Green.
There's a second to the motion. I will second that motion. Discussion. I'm really excited about the restrooms. This is something that we've talked about before I was a trustee. That's always been a long-term vision of this township, is to have permanent restrooms at our parks, and so I think this is a great move on our part. And a good price.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Mr. Carpenter.
Aye. Motion carries.
If I can, one more thing on the next one, just to let you know, the 3422, because you're doing them both, would be the correct PO for the second. Correct, Bob?
Correct. That's the sewer.
3422.
But we're going to use the existing tap at.
That's capacity fees. You have to pay that. It's either $5,900 if you do them separately, or with the letter that you should have in your package where it says, I'm going to combine the accounts, they're giving it to us for $3,422.
So it's really not a sewer tap fee?
No, it's capacity.
It's a capacity fee.
Yeah, they call it
capacity fee divided by two signs.
Correct. They call it a tap fee, but it is really capacity.
I'm going to motion to approve a purchase order to Delaware County Regional Sewer District in the amount of $3,422 for sewer tap fees at McNamara Park and at Center Green Park.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Discussion. Please call the roll.
Roll call. Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
And Mr. Carpone?
Aye. Motion carries.
And then on the Delco water tap at Center Green.
Center Green only.
Only Center Green.
Okay, I will motion to approve a purchase order to Delco Water in the amount of $5,110 for the water tap fees at Center Green Restrooms.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Discussion.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Carfagno?
Aye. Motion carries.
And next meeting, I'll have all the other quotes for the rest of the stuff I need for the restrooms. When I get them final quotes.
Great.
And the purchase orders, although I don't think we said it in the motion,
but it's a not to exceed and can be less.
I set it in the one in the, okay. one for the buildings. Okay. Yeah.
And the other ones not set fees that can't change.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks for all your diligence and looking into all this for us. Okay. Appreciate it.
Great addition, Bob.
You're welcome. It is going to be a great addition. The public's really going to be happy with this. Okay. Development and zoning. Oh, I'm sorry. Was there anything else, Bob?
No,
any other
that's
issues
it.
That you need?
That's it.
Okay. Development and zoning. We are still under old business, Mr. Wise.
Actually, it's administration.
Nothing under development and zoning.
And nothing under fire. Okay, so we're on to administration, the facility assessment study update.
Great. First off, I just want to announce that last week, Trustee D'Antonio and I sat down with a township resident who's a structural engineer. His name's Bill Bird, and Bill got us in contact with a company, Horn and King, that are architectural firm. They do studies, et cetera, for municipalities. And from that meeting, we discussed an RFQ for the township, and I created this one that I'm going to give you here.
Thank you.
This RFQ is very simple. It was used by a city up around Cleveland. But it basically says we're soliciting qualifications for our professional architectural and engineering services for our five facilities. And what I've done was I've included the building that down at Tussock in Big Walnut, this facility, and three down the street, maintenance, fire, and police. And so with those, I'm asking for an assessment of the existing building and building systems conditions. So if the board would review this, if there's anything else additionally you would like to put in the RFQ, that's pretty much they're suggesting keep it simple initially and then move on with your assessments once you have professional design companies that are have submitted information to you. So I don't know if you want to, this is what I've created. If you want to move forward to this, let me know. I can get this advertised in the legal methods.
Yes, sir. This is a follow-up to what we right previously talked about. We're running a parallel one with IT assessment. I think Paul will talk about that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. I really don't see a need to, and I didn't, since this proposal has, this is a request for qualifications, it's not a request for proposal, so there is no pricing right. involved in this. This is just to throw out the net, see who we catch, and evaluate the qualifications of those that are interested.
Right.
But I really don't think that we need to look at the facility at Tussock and Big Walnut as far, you know, it's being used as storage. If we continue to keep it, it'll be storage. So,
okay.
So I don't know. So
change that to four.
Change that to four would be my suggestion. And I'm if everybody's comfortable with this, it doesn't commit us to do anything other than
seek
gather information.
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to move forward. So this is our first step.
Okay. Do you need a motion at all?
No, I can just go ahead with the advertisement of this.
Yeah.
What are we using the Tussock building for? We say storage, but I mean, is this? It's mostly items. It's mostly items for the police department, since we are very limited. Their facility has literally no storage, so there may be targets down there for their shooting range. For might be old uniforms, just a variety of things that they utilize for storage. But I'll move ahead with this.
Thank you.
And then I'll hold off till Rick gets back.
I would suggest that we provide professional architectural, comma, engineering, comma, and or construction services related to the assessment instead of development of the assessment. Just related to the assessment of existing buildings and et cetera. I can talk to you tomorrow about some of the But I think it's short, it's sweet, it's simple, it's easy to understand.
Okay.
Because there are basically three buckets of firms that do this. A construction firm will do it, an engineering firm will do it, and an architectural firm. So it would be good to get everybody's different perspectives as far as qualification. Everybody's different qualification.
Okay.
And then, as you said, number five, a description of their approach to this type of work.
Okay. And then moving on to the IT assessment, Craig Marshall Skeel and I met with Andrew Ramsey from Precision Solution Group. They're a company, a local company out of the Easton area that very qualified to perform IT assessments, and they're a very high-tech firm. They will provide safeguards, disaster recovery plans. I mean, there's a whole gamut of items that we discussed. But once again, the process is the same pretty much as with the facilities assessment, but more technical. Mr. Ramsey suggested that instead of going with a basic facility, that type of thing, that we get a more specialized scope of the services that we're looking for in that IT assessment. He's given me the contact name of another firm that will discuss that matter with me, which I'm trying to set up a meeting with them. So that's moving ahead also. I just wanted to report that to the board.
Could we also utilize the same concept as a request for qualifications for IT assessment? We could almost pattern it just exactly like this.
That was my question.
Yeah.
Can we just
so that we're not locked into to one company? Let's throw the net out. Let's see who's interested, who's qualified, and then we just move down for it. Okay.
All right.
Good. Thanks.
So, but these firms will help us kind of tighten that language up to more specifically define what it is that we're looking to assess.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we're moving ahead with that. Also, at one of the past meetings, moving on, the board asked me to work on some employment contracts, and I'm working on those now, just to let you know those. They're time-consuming, so I'm trying to get everything. You know, it takes a while to work on those particular, because there's a lot of employees, and it's labor-intensive. So just to let you know, it's a work in progress. But I'll get going on these other items.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. Okay, we will move into new business, and there's no police, nothing new under maintenance, nothing new under zone, nothing new, period, right?
I get one thing is not.
Go ahead.
Are we waiting on them?
No, okay. They have nothing.
I've been meeting with the Delaware County Engineer's Office, and I was wondering if the board would like to have a presentation from the Delaware County Engineer's Office on what their plans are for 2016 and 17. I've been updated on it. I'm aware of it. I think it'd be very helpful for the rest of the board to be aware of it, as well as then the public. And I could reach out to them and ask if they could come to maybe our second March meeting.
Either one is fine with me.
Pardon?
Either one is fine with me. Yeah,
okay.
That's fine.
I'll check with them to get them either the March first or second meeting in March.
Would it be Rob Riley? I imagine it'd be Rob Riley.
No, it could be Rob Riley, but they actually have a township liaison by the name of Doug Riedel.
Riedel, sure.
Riedel. I apologize. So it would probably be Doug, because he is the official township liaison.
I know Rob is a resident, that's why sometimes.
And I met with him also.
Yeah.
But I think that it falls under Doug's area of responsibilities.
No, it's always good to get an update. Well, they're going to do an update at the HOA roundtable meeting, if I'm not mistaken.
Paul, I also understand that you're working on the job description, or position description, I guess, for a communications person.
I'm working on that probably early next week. I'll
send you a draft.
Great.
I can give you, because I took it upon myself to reach out to some various municipalities that are in the area, I can give you.
Take those?
Sure.
All right. Farrell also gave me some samples, too, to work with. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, just I didn't want to recreate the wheel.
Right. Same here.
Perfect.
I believe in theft in office when it comes to
it's public information.
It's exactly.
Public information.
Big borrow steal. All right.
Okay. Let's see. We are on to announcements. The Financial Advisory and Audit Committee will be meeting on February 25th at 6 p.m. The Investment Committee's next meeting will be March 1st at 8 a.m. Parks Advisory Board will be meeting on March 2nd at 7 p.m. And our next regular trustee meeting will be on March 3rd at 7 p.m. And all of those will be here at the hall. So at this time, I will make a motion to adjourn to executive session at 8:35 p.m. to consider the purchase of property for public purposes and to consider the appointment of public employees or officials. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Discussion?
Rick, did you say employment or appointment?
Appointment.
I would like to amend that motion to say employment and or appointment.
Well, let me make sure that I read it right, because I already had a resident contact me about winging these sorts of things. I will amend the motion. I'm just going to read it verbatim, even though it's overkill. To consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official.
Thank you.
Motion has been made and you resecond that motion.
Second.
Okay. Please call the roll.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye. Motion carries. We are now in executive session at 8:36 p.m. Go. Time is now 10:37 p.m. I will offer a motion to come out of executive session and return to the regular portion of our meeting.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye. Motion carries. We are now back into the regular portion of our regular meeting. Is there any business to come out of our executive session?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I would like to make a motion that we fill the full term or the full position on the Township BZA with Mark Phillips. That term would start April 1st, 2016 and end March 31st, 2021.
I will second that motion. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we please call the roll.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I have another motion I'd like to offer for the alternate position on the Township BZA. That would be a motion that we fill that position with Dorothy Driscoll. That position would commence April 1st, 2016 and run through March 31st, 2018.
Is there a second to the motion? I will second the motion. Any discussion?
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye. Motion carries. Is there any more business to come before the board at this time? Seeing and hearing none, I will motion that we adjourn at 10:39 p.m.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye. Motion carries. We are adjourned.